No more will you turn to another for help. No, will you turn to yourself, to yourself. No, will you say,
my people. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn, and the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have you never read what David did when he had need and was hungered, he and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is the Lord also of the Sabbath. I just read Mark chapter 2 from verse 23 to 28. Mark chapter 2, verse 23 to 28. And we see Jesus speaking here about the Sabbath of God. He declares something that we ought to attentively listen to. He says that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath of God. The rest of God. That thing is made for man and for man alone. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. So we are beginning to understand here that the Lord being the Son of Man in this instance, Christ is the Son of Man, is the Lord of the Sabbath. So we can discern here that Christ is the one who enters the Sabbath. He's the one who rules in the Sabbath. He's the one who actually is the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is for Christ. And those who will find themselves in the rest of God are those who rediscover themselves in Christ. It says, Come unto me, all ye that are, heavily burdened. Those of you who are in tribulation, and I will give you rest for your souls. Our rest comes only in Christ. Come to me. Come to me, all you that are troubled. All of you that are in tribulation, come to me and I will give you rest for your souls. We come to Christ by realizing Christ. We come to Christ by growing in Christ. That is the only way we can escape the wrath of man. That is the only way we can escape the hardships and the tribulations and the torments of humanity. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. One may ask, now, if the Sabbath was made for man, how come a lot of people are in tribulation today? How come a lot of people, have death ruling over them? How come a lot of people still have, you know, the characteristics of the sons of hell? Is Jesus Christ making a mistake here when he says the Sabbath is for man? Now we're going to examine, go back to the creation, and we're going to begin to examine what man is in the eyes of God. See, according to God's perception, let us get a full understanding of what man is. See, it's not just anybody who has 2 feet, 2 hands, you know, a physical body that is actually a man in the sight of God. See, there are two creatures. There is the man of the earth and the man from heaven. The man of the earth is a natural man and is actually fashioned after the image of the beast. It's fashioned out of the image of the creeping things of the earth, of the beasts. That is the natural man of the earth. Then you have the man from heaven, which is Christ, which is the Lord himself, who is fashioned after the image of God. So in the sight of God, the only man that truly exists is the man from heaven, the celestial man, the man of the spirit, which is Christ. That is the only man that exists in the eyes of God. See, what the other things you see are just flesh. That is flesh. See, you can call them flesh. See, or metal, or the man of the dust. We're going to look at the work of God on the sixth day. Like we've established, those workings in the book of Genesis chapter 1 are actually workings within us, with the saints. Paul says that we should labor to enter our rest, the way God labored to enter his rest. And I said that is a parable of we the saints doing the works of God to enter our rest as God entered his rest. Praise God. Like we've explained already that God is the one that enters the rest. It is God in man. Bear it in mind that it is man that enters the Sabbath of God. It is man that enters the rest of God. The Sabbath is for man. That rest is for man. That is, we're talking of man here now that is made in the image of God. We're talking of the celestial man. Paul talks about two men in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Two men. Paul talks about two men. There is the man from heaven and there is the man from earth. The earthly man. Before I move on to the Genesis chapter 1, let us quickly browse through this thing again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 46. It says, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. as is the effi, such a day that are effi, and as is the heavenly, such as are they also that are what heavenly. We are born the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Praise God. Now we can see there are two images here, where there are two men here that Paul defines. Two men, two images. There is the man of the earth, which is the man of the dust, the mortal man, the natural man. See it? And there is the man from heaven, the man from heaven, which is the Lord himself, the Lord of glory. This is the Lord that enters the rest. The rest belongs to the Lord. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. See, he is the only one that has access to the rest of God. So our duty as saints is to be converted to that man from heaven. Now this is the mystery of our salvation. See, there is a mysterious transformation that occurs in the saints that the world cannot understand. Now that transformation actually occurs within our minds. It's an unveiling of something that we already are. See it? We all descended from the glory of God. See it? Into the dark places of the earth. And we have lived lives as mortal, limited, weak human beings. The man of the earth. See, but the gospel is that light that brings revelation. Revelation of Christ in you, which is the glory of God. Christ is the glory of God. See, Christ is God appearing as a man. These are deep mysteries. You see, the book of Revelation, an angel, one of the angels, you know, spoke, saying, in the days of the sounding of the seventh trumpet, the mystery of God will be finished. That mystery is being accomplished now as we are being unveiled. The mystery of God is simply that all along we have been that part of God. But we did not know. It was all veiled. It has been a mystery. But the gospel brings out this mystery and finishes this mystery so that we can once more reign in glory. We have descended and put on the image of the man of the dust, the limited, weak man of the dust. See, who is cut off from the life of God? Who is cut off from the glory of God? But we are now receiving light. Praise God. We are beginning to receive light and we are beginning to understand our substance, who we truly are. See, we have suffered so much pain, anguish of soul, torment, a sense of abandonment, sense of being unworthy sinners. You know, we've lived a life in wrath simply because in ignorance, we have exchanged the glory of God for the lie. We have exchanged the glory of the Lord for a lie. We have used the name of the Lord in vain. See, we are the glory of the Lord. We are the glory of the living God. See, but just imagine how low some of us have, you know, we are falling. We have exchanged the glory of God for that of creeping things. We've exchanged the glory of God for that of, you know, beasts, reptiles, unclean birds, animals, living after natural instincts, living like the beasts and perishing like the beasts, simply because in ignorance, we've exchanged the glory of God for the lie. See, this is the source of all wrath. This is the source of death. See, remember the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. Yes, God. But that is exactly what we have done in Adam. That is what we've done at times unconsciously when we entered into a material world. Praise God. Now you see this in Romans chapter 1 from verse 16. I'll just start from verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest to them. For God showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen and being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image like to corruptible man. You see, to corruptible man, to birds, uncorrupt, you know, four-footed beasts, creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who exchanged the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Praise God. See it? Let's just pause there. We are beginning to understand where we missed it. We are beginning to understand why some of us have diseases, sicknesses. Some of us are, you know, in great tribulation, suffering, fear, you know, poverty consciousness, inferiority complex, a sense of being unworthy sinners, and all that kind of thing. All these things men suffer. See, it's simply because they exchange the glory of God for the lie. They exchange the glory of God for the glory of that of mortal man, creeping things, reptiles, birds. They change the glory of God, the incorruptible, immortal, invisible God, for that of, you know, natural beasts. You see it? Exchanging the truth of God for a lie. And we know Christ is the truth. Christ is the creature of God. He is the true witness of God. But all that we changed around, and you know, we have lived according to an image that is derived out of the natural senses. We've lived according to the exterior man of the flesh. We've lived after our natural instincts, recognizing things after the natural instincts. And we've lived very much like the animals, like the beasts. See, we've forsaken the Lord. We've exchanged the glory of God for that of beasts. So you see, men, this is the sin. What we are saying is the sin of man. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is the transgression. We have slipped away systematically from the glory of God. By in our conformation, we have conformed ourselves to the world. We have conformed ourselves to the beast, you know, to the image of the beast. Now you understand the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is simply the mark of carnality that we put on in our ignorance. That is our Adam life. Adam put on the mark of the beast in his transgression. Praise God. And this is where man has reaped death. Death has come in. And the fruits of death, your anguish of soul, the torments, and all these things you suffer, simply because we are not living as that man God intended us to live as. Praise God. If we had maintained ourselves in the truth, the way we are known of God, we would never have suffered these things that we suffer in humanity. See it, our soul will be properly tucked into the Garden of Eden. See it, will be there in the Sabbath of God, ruling and reigning in the rest of God. Because the Sabbath is created for man. See it, when God finished the work in Genesis chapter 2, when he had finished molding man, he put man in the garden. See, that is the environment of man. Man is, see, the Sabbath is there for man. Automatically, man inherits that Sabbath. But we have lived in another image. And I'm going to prove this to you in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to go to the sixth day and let us understand the mystery of the creation on the sixth day. See, it has got nothing to do with the natural creation. God does not need 24 hours to create animals and people. God does not need to rest in the night and, you know, wake up the next morning to start another day. All these are allegories. They are parables pointing to works that we must accomplish to enter into the rest of God. See it, we must do the works of God. We must do the works in Genesis chapter 1 so that we can enter the rest that is of God, the Sabbath of God, like we see in Genesis chapter 2. When God rested from all his works, when we have accomplished these works in us, then we enter the rest of God. Remember that these things are workings within us. You don't have to go around, you know, trying to look for who to heal and who to save. We men are fond of trying to save other people when some of us are not saved ourselves. Praise God. You have to concentrate on the work in you. Of course, some people will hear what you are doing, some people will see what you are doing and follow in your footsteps and be saved. See, but bear in mind that these are workings within you first. These works must be accomplished in us first. See, before you start going out to, you know, to do crusades and all those kind of things. People mistaken think that the works of God means that you should go about doing crusades and trying to save people. You see, without Christ, you can do nothing. Jesus Christ says, without me, you can do nothing. There's nothing you can do. You can't do anything without Christ. So we have to cultivate the habit of waiting on the Lord. Let this work be accomplished in us before we go out. Praise God. So we'll go to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to start from verse 24. These are famous verses we've read over and over again, but you know the light of God will always bring forth a new color. We begin to see the manifest wisdom of God in play here, in action. Because Genesis chapter 1 can be preached in 1 million ways. Praise God. And it can all be from the heart of God. We move on. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and the creeping thing, and beast of the earth after this its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God said, and God saw that it was good. Now you can see here, the first instance, God created what? The beasts. See it. First of all, God what creates what? The beast. Let your ears be open to hear a deep mystery here. He created the creeping things. See it? Created the cattle. And he saw it was good. And after that, he goes on and said, God says, let us make man in our image. After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over everything that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth on the earth, wherein there is life, I have given green herb for meat. And it was so. Praise God. Now we see two creations. Two different creations. Now, if you study the creations properly, the account of the first day, second day, third day, you always notice there is a dividing line. See it on the first day. You know, God said, let there be light, and he separated the light from the darkness. See, the darkness represents a generation, it represents a people. It represents a lower realm of existence, a consciousness. Why the light, which is the day, represents another generation, which is the generation of God. Praise God. We also saw how God separated the waters from waters. There was the waters above the firmament and the waters underneath the firmament. And we explained that the waters above the firmament is the clouds, represent the clouds of heaven, which are actually celestial beings. We're talking of the body of God, the body of Christ. And you have the clouds underneath the firmament of the heaven, which represents the natural man of the earth. It represents the lower species, which is mortal man. Praise God. And you know, in another account, you have the creation of the stars, the sun to rule the day, and you had the moon for the night. See, the night and the day had different, objects to rule over them. Like we said, the moon represents the carnal mind of man, which has no light of his own. And the sun represents, the mind of Christ, which is actually the mind of God. So right here on the sixth day, we are seeing another separation. We see two types of creation. There is you have the beast. First of all, you have the beast of the earth. Have you observed that first of all, you have the natural? First of all, you have that which is unpleasant. First of all, you have the darkness before the light. The workings of God on the first day was to convert, was to create a people of the light out of that darkness. He brought out the people out of that darkness into the light. On the second day, when he separated the waters from the waters, he was separating the people from the waters underneath the heavens, you know, and placing them above the heavens. Praise God. So on the sixth day, we see the same thing. First of all, you have the creeping beasts, the creeping animals, the beasts, the reptiles, the serpents. These are animals, things without, you know, that operate by natural instincts. See, that first part of the sixth day represents mortal man of the dust. In our ignorance, we all have formed that those creeping creatures. We've lived as those creeping creatures upon the earth, as brute beasts, without understanding, living after our natural instincts, thinking that we are, you know, flesh and blood, you know, flesh and blood creatures, thinking that we are white or black. See it? Thinking that we are American or African. Thinking that we are male or female. See, we lived as brute beasts, thinking that we could have a natural family upon the earth. See, when we identified ourselves with the visible, identified ourselves with an exterior world, thinking that we are part of this world. See, we are like brute beasts without understanding. Praise God. But God is arising now. The God in us is arising to create man in his image and in his likeness. And we know God is spirit. Praise God. The spirit is above all. Out of the spirit comes forth everything that is visible. Out of God comes forth everything that is seen. Now we are beginning to awake back into the realm of the creator, no more living in the realm of the creature. Praise God. God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. That is the work of God right now in our lives, to transform us back into the image of the only begotten of God. Back into the image of God. Praise God. So that dominion and pleasures can be restored to us. Let him be like us, having dominion. Dominion over all the works of our hands. Dominion over the beasts of the field. Dominion over all. When you have dominion, you have rest. Isn't it one of the promises of God? To him that overcomes, will I give to sit on with me on my throne, the way I overcame and sat with my Father on my throne. See, when we sit on the throne, we rule and we reign. The king is rested upon his throne. The king issues commands and it is done. He issues a decree and it is done. But he's there seated, resting upon his throne. Everything under his feet, dominion over his under his feet. You see it? Dominion over all every element. All the beasts, be it within us or without. You know, dominion, control over the emotions, over the will, over the desires. Every aspect of us comes under subjection. You see it? In that realm, in that type of dominion, sickness can't come near you. The troubles of humanity can't come near you. The fears and torments of men can't come near you. When you discover yourself back in this place that God is, you know, is bringing us into. We are born the image of the earthly. We are born the image of the mortal man of the dust. We've born the image of the creeping things, the beasts of the field. But the time has now come to bear the image of the Lord from heaven, who is the glory of the Lord, of God himself. This is the one created in the image of God. This is one who is like God. This is the one who is God. This is the man that enters the Sabbath of God, that enters the rest of God, for he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Oh, praise God. Aren't we privileged to hear these mysteries? Oh, hallelujah. Aren't we privileged to begin to understand the mystery of the gospel in this hour? Oh, hallelujah. The gospel is simply that light revealing you who you are. See, if you are waking into that consciousness, knowing who you truly are, covered in the knowledge of the Father, awakening in the Son, your tribulation passes away, your fears passes away, your pain, your anguish of soul, your sense of lack, poverty, inferiority complex, and everything you suffered as a man comes to pass. See, all things are passed away. All things are new, fresh in the Lord. Praise God. So this is the working of God within us, to bring us back into that perfect man. God is creating man today. Oh, hallelujah. To bring, make us perfect. To bring us into the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is working individually in us. Amen. It's not God, it's not calling us to be gathered into churches. It's not calling us to, you know, to hold crusades, you know, and to make, you know, churches here and there, and to put people in bondage. No. See, the word of God comes to liberate us. Liberate us into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Or into the glorious liberty of the Son of God. And that is what the gospel comes to do to us. It loosens us. It loosens us from the grip of mortality. It loosens us from the illusion that we are human beings, that we are flesh and blood. And it raises us up far above all principalities and powers. See, far above those things that, you know, try to torment you, that try to blackmail you, that try to inject fear into you. Far above those things, so that those things that trouble men will never come near you anymore. What can trouble the Lord as he sits in glory and rules and reigns? Praise God. All dominion in heaven and earth is given to us. See it. When you have all dominion, You are like in a garden of Eden, in a garden of pleasures, where everything works out for your good. Where you are consciously aware. We're not just talking of quoting scriptures, reciting scriptures like you did in the days of religion. We're talking about coming to the realm where you experience it, that everything is working out for you. You are the Lord of the Sabbath. You walk as the Lord of the Sabbath, and everything functions for your good. Everything serves you. Everything is for your pleasure. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Christ must increase and we must decrease. Isn't this the word of John the Baptist? Say, he that cometh from above is above all. And he that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. Or he that comes from above, that cometh from heaven, is above all. You see, this is, well, I just read John chapter 3, verse 30. And I go down to verse 35. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. See it? See, now you understand why people abide in wrath. Why people are troubled. Why there is darkness over the face of the deep. Why there is desolation. See, why we're having financial problems, sicknesses, diseases. See, why your life is in suspense for tomorrow. Simply because we live a life outside the Son of God. The Son of God who is from heaven. He's the one that is above all and rules over all. He's the one that inherits all. If we live outside the Son, if we continue on as mere mortal men of the dust, if we continue on as human beings, we simply perish off, living our lives in irritation and in torments. The wrath of God. That is what the world is. Go everywhere you go, this rough problems. Torments. But if we submit to the Lord from heaven, if we allow Christ in us to increase, the celestial spiritual man in us to increase, if we increase in the knowledge of the Son of God and begin to live by the Spirit, we shall once more know life. We shall be delivered from the powers of death. Eternal life is ours. Isn't it a privilege? What we are hearing is things that many people have sought to hear over the ages, but they never heard. Many people died. Millions have passed through this earth, and they never heard these things we are hearing today. But thank God the hour has come to hear the truth. For there is nothing that is hidden that shall not be revealed. Nothing hidden about your true identity. Nothing hidden about your origin in the glory of God that will not be revealed. So the hour has come to listen and be saved. Let go of those elements, those attachments, those human beliefs, those things that attach you to an outer body, outer world, outer system, and begin to take a hold on the real one right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the work of God, our working is to be built up into the perfect man, which is Christ. Now let us see what Paul says about the gifts of God. The gifts of God, because we have the Spirit of God working in us. We saw how God created man. He breathed into man. And we know the breath of God is actually the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is that which reveals the deep things of God. Praise God. It's as we receive the Spirit of God and receive from the depths of God, that which is truth, that we are converted from this sinful carnal nature of mortal man, and we are placed back into the Garden of Eden, which is the place of rest. Praise God. Now let us read quickly what Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 46. He says, howbeit that was not... No, sorry, I made a mistake there. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. See it? Hallelujah. So you have to get this thing straight. There's only one God. There is only one body. See, all the other bodies we see are illusions. They seem as though they are, but they are not. They don't exist. I am this, I am that, I came from this, I come from that. I'm from this family, I'm from that family. All that does not exist. Those are just illusions in the minds of men who live after the carnal spirit. But when you are working in truth, you will know that there is only one body, and that is the body of Christ. Praise God. In that day, you will know that there is only one spirit in reality. Hallelujah. Now we'll move on. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the edifying of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Mark that, for the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's stop there. You see it? Paul is now talking here about the work of the ministry. This is the work of God. The work of the ministry is none other than to edify us in Christ, who is the image of God. That we all grow up into that one man. Like I said, it's only one man. See it, one man, many spirits, one body, is the body of God. See, and we all belong to that eternal body that liveth forever. You can call him the Alpha and the Omega. You can call him Christ. You can call him the Ancient of Days. He simply is. He has always been. He is the Son of God. Praise God. And we all are being gathered into that one man, back into that one man, to grow up into him, into the stature of the fullness of Christ, where we come back into the unity of the faith. The unity of the faith was broken in our descent into the lower parts of the earth, where we've lived, you know, life as fools, where we have lived, you know, in the ignorance of human living. Praise God. So he has now descended. The Son of God has descended and he has given us gifts. Gifts to each and every one of us. See, for the working of the ministry to edify us, to present us back perfect in Christ. Praise God. When God says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, he has descended now to give us these gifts for the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is to create man in the image of Christ. Let us make man in our image. This is the work of God. And we are co-workers with God. And these workings work individually in our lives and to the body of Christ as a whole. Nobody knows everything. See, nobody is complete on his own. You take a bit here, you take a bit there. See, there are times in my life where the Lord sent ministers to me that I have not met physically, And he sent good word to me, to meet my very need at that point in time. That is the ministry. The ministry does not have to function, you know, between four walls. See, some people cannot still understand how you can, you know, have church without organized religion. But bear in mind that it is actually ministering spirits in the body of Christ. We fellowship with one another in the spirit. Our fellowship is not something that occurs in the flesh. Yes, at times we might meet. Yes, for a season we might meet. See, we might have, you know, what do I call it? Revivals for months, for weeks, for years. But bear in mind that the focus is to bring us to the fullness of Christ. Nothing more. You can even learn from the beasts, from the animals. If you look at the bird, when the bird makes a nest, she lays the eggs and covers the eggs, and the eggs hatch, and they nurture their chicks to maturity. When the chicks get to maturity, they all fly off and leave the nest. But religion wants you to remain stuck to that nest. It wants you to be attached to that nest. You see, but our own attachment is in the spirit. We are attached to that which is in the spirit. We are not of this natural world. So at times it's difficult to place some of us. People wonder about which church do you go to? Where did you get your Bible school degree from? And all that stuff. And you know, they are baffled. Like, how come you know so much things when you never went to Bible school? If I met a pastor once from Canada, and he was so dazed, he was so shocked. He asked, "Well, how could you do these things? How could you have written so much articles when you never went to a Bible school?" Praise God. So right now, the working of the Spirit, we're talking of the work of God. That work that we are doing together with the Lord within ourselves is to bring us to the rest of God. The rest of God is only found when we rediscover ourselves back in the image of Christ. When we are liberated from the false sense of life that we have lived as human beings. Praise God. In Him we discover that we are complete. If you are in Him, you do not need, you know, those bank accounts, you know, for security purposes. You do not need the security of man. He becomes your security. He becomes your peace, your health. Amen. Because the life of God becomes your life. And we know the life of God, in the life of God there is no cancer. In the life of God there is no disease. In the life of God there is no lack, no poverty. See, it's a realm of abundance. Abundance. Praise God. Hallelujah. We begin to live by the Spirit, live by faith, not by sight. We enter into the rest of God, knowing that all things are under our feet. All dominion is restored back to us. This is our groaning day and night. Amen. You dig into the scriptures to show yourself approved. We fellowship with one another, exchanging mails, exchanging the word of God. If one has a word of prophecy, he passes it over to the other one. All these things is to edify us in the faith, to build us upon the rock of ages, where we can stand eternally. Praise God. So now we are beginning to get a clear picture of entering the rest of God. See, our rest is found only as we discover ourselves in Christ, the true image of God. Christ, who is the Lord from heaven, the man from heaven. We must let go of our attachments to the earth and begin to connect back to the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now we have the revelation. Now we have the gifts of knowledge. Now we must apply to our lives. patiently daily. See, not being discouraged. See, not letting, you know, your stumblings or certain weaknesses or infirmities, like Paul says, to affect you. Stand your ground. Stand your ground and begin to walk in the revelation light that the Lord is giving you. Walk as a son of God. Begin to put on the nature of your Father and walk in that light. No more as a man, but as offsprings of God, in the perfection of the incorruptible, immortal God. Praise God. We thank God for this revelation. Praise God. And we ask for increase, continuous increase. Hallelujah. The Son of God does not die. That which dies is the counterfeit. That which dies is the man of the dust. Praise God. But if we find ourselves in Christ, we reign in life and in peace. In peace that, you know, and stillness that this world cannot understand. We shall be like, even, you know, when Jesus stood upon the seas, upon the waves, when he slept in the boat while the waves were raging, that is how your peace will be. Hallelujah. Because the knowledge of the Lord shall be like the waters that cover the seas. Every cell of your body, your consciousness is totally immersed in the consciousness of the living God. And nothing can make you fear. Fear will be a thing of the past. It will be alien. It will look like foolishness. You shall laugh at fear in that day. Because you are secured in the knowledge of the Son of God. That is the rest of God. So we are advised to labor. Labor spiritualizing ourselves. Allowing the word to bring us into Christ. Exercising ourselves in divinity. Exercising ourselves in the Son. Day and night. That's why Paul says, exercise yourself in godliness. Exercise ourselves. That is the way we can attain to that place. In due season, the Lord that causes increase will bring us to that place of perfection and rest. Amen.